goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Last Christmas I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to Philippe Lisa. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. It's been 10 days, 10 whole days since we last recorded the podcast. And in that time, an away win and a draw, but we're taking the draw at Ibrox as a win. And we did Falkirk Daft Live 6 as well, the Christmas party. Hello, it is Falkirk Daft. We are back. Sorry we've been away for a bit. It's your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast, and joining me as ever is the ginger god of pod himself, it's Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir.
Yes. I read that, and so Ross has written the kind of plan today, and I read two away wins, and then I had to correct myself. It just felt like a win at Ibrox.
I think it did. It probably did.
So there you go. We are fresh. We're recording this on a Monday evening. Like fixture, being in the Premiership's great, obviously, but having these Sunday games and fixtures moving here, there, and everywhere, it's just been a nightmare recording this podcast.
Absolutely, it's playing havoc with absolutely everything. So it is now 9:37 on a Monday night, and you and I have both worked our socks off today for the job that actually pays money, and then but we're doing this. But actually, how good is it that we can talk about all these good things?
Absolutely, we've got so much to talk about. Let's just kick off and start at the beginning. Let's talk quickly about Dundee United away. Ross, we didn't get the chance to record an episode for various factors, work being one of them. Dundee United away, you watched it on Falkirk TV because obviously we couldn't get to the game, but what an away win and what away performance, helped by a dodgy goalkeeper of course, but I don't think it would have mattered because I thought the performance was excellent from the first whistle.
No, I totally agree. The attitude was spot on. You could sense the players were up for it. We got at them. And yeah, the keepers obviously had a bit of a disaster of a day. I saw he was dropped.
Apparently sick. He was ill, apparently. Yeah.
Was he? Right, okay.
That old chestnut.
That one. But we more than deserved the win. Like Calvin Miller, bloody hell, the guy is on fire just now. And he was phenomenal against Dundee United, as were many others. Brian Graham, the finish for his goal was
using
superb
the pace,
as well.
Big Brian there, I like that.
he had a wee turn of pace there, didn't he?
I know. Great ball from Calvin Miller for the third. I mean, you go get obviously the first two. I mean, the second one, the goalkeeper, don't know what is the goalie doing, Tam? Throwing it into his own net. You know, he should have done better with Miller's shot. But it's not taken away from the victory and the 3 points, because it, you know, to go up to Tannadice and win 3-0, you know, we were coming out looking at this run of schedules and running the fixtures, and you called it, to be fair, you said 4 points, and here we are sitting with 4 points.
Yeah, that was the hope. And do you know what? We more than deserved the 3 points at Tannadice. We more than deserved the point that we got yesterday at Ibrox. We could have had all three. We would have bitten their hand off to take all three. A draw was probably a fair result. Rangers did have a chunk of the ball. They were a little bit wasteful in front of goal when they had chances, as were we. I know you and I have spoken very briefly about it, but we were in that final third. That's where our our decision making and our final ball just wasn't at its best. But defensively, in midfield, we absolutely controlled large parts of that game.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Rangers game in just a bit. But yeah, just going back to Dundee United, you know, great performance and a way victory I didn't expect, but we didn't expect against Aberdeen, and just solidifies of how far the club have come. So that was great up at Dundee United. And before the Rangers game, of course, we had the sixth instalment of Falkirk Daft Live at Behind the Wall. Thanks to everyone that came on. 220 people jammed into Behind the Wall. It's the first time we've done it on a Saturday night as well. And it was just a classic night, Ross. One of the best we've done, I think.
I think so. Like we keep saying this though after each one that like we get feedback that this is the best one yet. So I just hope that we can try and continue whenever the next one is, whether it's April, May, whatever, right? If at all, then. But I just think we're sending people home far happier than when they arrive, and that's the mark of a good night. The guests, John, like Ricey, Scott McKenzie, Sammy, Chris McGill, each and every one of them were just on point, so funny, so involved, so interested in the club. Obviously, Chris is still employed with the club, but the rest of the guys have been away for a long time. But the stories, the love for the club is still there. And as Ricey himself said, yes, he's paid by Livingston, but Falkirk's his club. And that came out massively.
No, Ricey was great. Scott McKenzie, just fantastic. It was just great. And then we obviously had our secret Santa, which if you haven't heard, it was Sammy McGivern dressed as Santa Claus. And he had a few drinks by that point as well. So it was more like bad Santa than a secret Santa. And absolute top form. It did help. Obviously, the three of them had played together, you know, and it turns out like basically Sammy had taken Scotty under his wing when he was a young player and they, you know, picked him up and, you know, took him from, because Sammy's coming from Ayrshire, picked up Scotty in Glasgow. Ricey and Sammy did not know this at all, but they were in the Lost Scotland team that won the Euro Championships when they were younger together. The team that had Paul McStay and all these players in it. And Ricey and Sammy played in that team. So they were like cock-a-hoop, just catching up in old times. And Ricey, you know, he took a bit of stick for the Livingston stuff. I think he came out to the crowd and he sort of whispered to you, not used to crowds like this at Livingston. And obviously then Ross said it on stage and everyone was like, "Hey!" And there was little bits and bobs, you know, we were asking about how Livy keep beating us. You know, stories of their careers and, you know, Ricey talked about Brian Clough and, you know, the stories about Yogi, Latapy. It was great. You know what was interesting as well? We got down to it though, and you know, because Scott McKenzie is the person that has played with all the big three. He's played, he didn't play in a first team game with Stainor, but he trained with him.
Yeah.
Played with Crunchy, obviously, and played with Latapy. Probably the only player that can say that. In fact, he is the only player that can say that. So we did ask him, right, you're in the best position to rank the big three, Crunchy number one.
Which is never in doubt, really, is it? Like, I know it is a hot topic and it's a question we've all asked ourselves and of each other, but Crunchy's name, time and time again, just keep coming out. Mm. And he was just absolutely... Scott McKenzie, like, you said it on the stage, Sean, he's an underrated... one of the most underrated Falkirk players of all time.
Yeah.
But he is so humble about it. Like, I even discussed how he is, like, him comparing him to Brad. Brad's obviously is a different type of midfielder, but he runs the show. And a lot of what we did back in the day, Scott McKenzie ran the show from starting it, from whether he was centre mid or in sweeper, he ran it. So
I remember him, like, Falkirk supporters really didn't take to him at points, you know? I mean, he obviously, with the length of service he did, but I do remember just a few murmurings in the stand or whatever, but, like, I thought he was brilliant, you know? And I felt, you know, I was like, I said that to him. I was like a schoolboy. I was like, "Scott, you're brilliant." But like that kind of, and I made a point of it. It's like a player like Scott McKenzie in the modern age, clubs would jump over him. Someone that wins the ball back, retains possession. You know, you look at these players that are worth a fortune now. And Scotty was one of the originals that did that sort of thing, you know? And it was just a pleasure to have on the stage. Both actually, Brian Rice and Scott McKenzie, messaged me after the show saying, "Brilliant, really had a great time. You guys really enjoyed it. They had a whale of a time. And again, thanks to Chris McGill, our wonderful kit man who came out, gave us a wee insight on what's happening in the dressing room this season. Wouldn't tell us anything about Ibiza, but we'll let him off with that. But brilliant. Chris is our absolute legend. And Super Sam, what more can we say about him? The fact he dressed up as Santa had a grown man sitting on his leg, well, slightly inebriated, was absolutely brilliant. And it all remain with me. And Sam was outstanding as ever. So thank you very much, Mr. McGivern. An absolute pleasure to have you on the stage with us yet again. And let's just say, well, when will the next one be? We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. But yeah, it's just going to be harder and harder to get them as good as the last one.
It really is, John. Like, see, the last, obviously, when we did one in a few months back, and we had Yogi and Crawford, but
Oh, that
the
was good.
stories coming out of these boys was just phenomenal. Your cheeks were sore for laughing, but actually, the stories coming out of Ricey, Sammy, and Scotty, and when all three of them were on stage as well, it was like, this is just perfect.
And of course, all three of them are on stage to judge the final of the F Factor. In case you haven't heard, the winner of the F Factor 2025 was the lead singer of Legend of Stardust, Peter Dust, who was back from Portugal as well. So congratulations, Peter. Did a smashing performance up there on the stage,
He
but he's
did.
used to the stage. But big shout out to Drew and to Kenny as well, who are great sports and came out and did it as well. So no, it was just a great night all around, and hopefully you can make it to the next Falkirk Daft Live. I'd love to see you there, and thanks to everyone that turned up on the night. Let's get into Birthday Corner. It's been a while, Ross. We better rattle through these. Right, okay, we'll go 1-2-1-2 here. Go right. So
Okay.
I'll kick off. Right, happy belated 90th birthday to Les Page, whose birthday was on the 27th of November. God almighty.
That's only a few days ago. That's
I
not
know,
bad.
that's fine. That's from your son Murray, who says he missed his first Falkirk Daft Live on Saturday as he's run out for his dad's birthday. Oh, what a shame. We should really take these, but I don't think we could because of some of the stories. Probably not.
No, I don't think we could. Like, obviously, I know I can't remember what he said now. Ricey said something. I was like, Ricey, this is going out live. I think it was about VAR. And he was like, you see it? No,
there's something about John beaten, I believe, but we'll move on from that.
We will. Belated happy birthday as well to John McCaff, and that was on the 29th of November, and that's from your wife Lauren, daughter Maya, and the Ducks.
Grant Woodburn, happy belated birthday to you. That's from Auntie Sue, Grandpa, and the rest of the family. I like when we get pets, so I like the mention of the dogs. Please leave your dog's name as well.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to Alan Henderson, aka
Aha!
Crunchy Carrots
The
Senior.
bulging.
They were both at the Falkirk Daft Live, and then I saw they were in the
They
boardroom
were
at
both looking
Ibiza.
very staunch in the boardroom. I saw pictures of
Very
Scott and
staunchy, yeah.
Alan, and Alan had the best seat in the house. Alan had just pulled up a seat at the side of the stage and was quite happy there. Go on yourself, Alan. Happy birthday to you. I wish I knew it was your birthday on the night. Happy birthday to Kevin Pepper, aka Salty. I can see where he got that nickname from, who's 50 years of age, and that's from Craig.
So remember, there was a bit of chat about Kevin Pepper last year because when George Oakley scored for Ayr against Falkirk, do you remember he lifted up his top and there was a t-shirt about Salty?
Yeah,
And
yeah, yeah.
that was his pal, Kevin
Ah,
Pepper.
right,
So there we go.
see.
Yeah. Happy birthday to the legend that is Brian Stewart, whose birthday's actually tomorrow, or when this goes out, this is Tuesday the 2nd of December, and that's from all of the usual suspects at Elliot's.
There you go. Happy birthday to Linda. Dear Linda, Linda Haxton, 4th of December is your birthday, Linda. Have a great day. That's from Alex and Andy. And Alex, as usual, end up with an auction prize at Falkirk Daft Live. And I said to Linda, I said, there's another one for the wall, Linda. You'll be glad of that. He goes, I think it was his Christmas present to himself. So I think he
Wow,
got the Hogarth's Invincible top as well. So
and that was a cracker of a shirt to win as
I
well.
know, I know. So happy birthday to Linda. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Speaking of legends as well, happy birthday to Stan Anchak, whose birthday's this week on the 6th of December, and that's from Yvonne, Maya, and all the family, and including the dogs as well.
What are the dogs' names? We need to know the dogs' names. And
Okay.
happy 13th birthday to Angus Blakeley's favourite player, Dylan Tate. Looking forward to for basically him turning into Kevin the teenager. My daughter turns 13 very soon. I'm looking forward to that moment as well. So Angus is turning into a teenager on the 7th of December, and that's all the best from Uncle Dougie and all the family. And we've got a few players' birthdays this week. We're recording this today, and happy birthday to Dylan Tate. Can't believe Dan's only 24 there as well.
I know.
Kyrie Wilson again, 21. Jesus, we're old. And Tiago, they share his their birthday with the legend that is Jonas Tiago Rodriguez. He's 42 today.
Do you know his name came up on Saturday night as well, didn't it? When Ricey was talking about Russell Latapy taking the Portuguese boys under his wing. Can you imagine Russell Latapy being the role model in that scenario?
I know.
Like, he just smokes and drinks and he's looking after these three Portuguese boys.
I know. Unbelievable. Brilliant stuff.
2nd of December, so tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this, it's Captain Invincible himself, Stephen McGinn, who's 37.
Happy birthday, Stephen. Can you believe that Brian Graham's older than Stephen McGinn? And Scott Arfield as well. So, cause he's, oh, no, Scott's just turned 37. Scott's just turned 37, actually. Oh, no, so he is.
So he is, yeah.
If, just Stephen, McGinn, if, Steve, if Stephen McGinn's turned 37, aye, Scott Arfield's
Just by a couple of older. Weeks.
Jesus, there you go. 3rd of December, Andy Nicol, who is actually, I believe, might be in the lounge on his birthday.
Wednesday, I think Wednesday, he is, yeah.
Aye, Scott,
some good
go.
Guests this week as well, we better
remind it, it's Andy's 65th if he's in the lounge on
oh yeah, because that's match day.
Yeah, exactly, so there you go. Kevin James as well. Kevin, can you believe it? Kevin James is 50 years old. Unbelievable.
That's just, see these guys who we watch, they shouldn't be in their 50s or their 60s.
Living in Australia now, Kevin James, he would have been brilliant to get on with Falkirk Fly. I loved Kevin James. It's, you know, captain, you know, where does help one of the championship for us as well? So there you go.
Yeah. 4th of December, we've got Ryan McStay. And this shocked me. I didn't realise he was 40. Like I would have said, he's still in his 30s. But yeah, he turns big 4-0.
And finally, we've got 5th of December, Jane McGowan, who turns 55 or 97, the man who led us out in the 97 Scottish Cup final. And Stevie Lovell, remember Stevie Lovell, played for Dundee, Aberdeen, ended up as, was going out with Amy McDonald when, I think he might have been engaged to Amy McDonald, you know, because I always bumped into Amy McDonald at Falkirk games when she was going to watch Stevie Lovell, because I knew her through, when I worked at XFM, and I knew Amy McDonald. I was like, all right, here for the match, eh? Sort of thing, it's like that. So there you go. Amy McDonald and Stevie Lovell, there you go. And Stevie Lovell turns 45, there you go. Bit of club news for you. There's only 200 tickets remain for Hibs away. As it stands, they'll probably open more events. You're making it on, Ross, aren't you?
Yes, yep, got our tickets. So I'm looking forward to it. I love an away day through to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Hibs away. Actually, I would say Hibs away I probably favour out of Hibs and Hearts, and I don't know why. Maybe just because we've played Hibs a few more times.
I know exactly why, because you are obsessed with going to the Artisan.
Well, yes, that is true. That is a brilliant pub.
There you go.
It is a belter. And you're right. I think the last I heard was there's about 1,400 tickets sold so far, so there is going to be another very healthy away crowd at Easter Road. And as you said, those will probably sell as well. So you're probably talking 1,500, 1,600 Falkirk fans there on the day.
And talking of Edinburgh away days, we drew Hearts in the Scottish Cup. I mean, listen, if we were still in the Championship, you'd be like, ah, really looking forward to it and stuff. But I think it's that, just, you don't want to draw someone that's in the same league as you, you know? I mean, I think everyone, as a Falkirk supporter, was hoping for, like, Camelin Juniors away. That would have been brilliant.
That would have been good.
Would have been absolutely brilliant. And just that wee kind of local derby and that wee bit. Everyone standing on the canal side while Kerry watching the game.
The only bonus to drawing Hearts in January is by that time they'll probably be bottom six because they're shite now.
Well, let's hope so. But it would have been great. Obviously, with Tam Scobie being the manager at Camelin, you know, Auchinleck away day would have been good. Like, I quite fancied Ross County away day as well, Elgin City, but you know, it was like, ugh, it's Hearts away. Listen, it's like you say, it's a good away day. And we'll get more tickets this time as well, obviously, due to the Scottish Cup allocation.
Yes.
Could potentially get 4,000, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, the full away end, I think, holds just under 4,000. So, personally, I might be wrong. I'm not sure we'd need that many, but I think we could quite comfortably sell a couple of thousand, maybe even 2,500 for a cup game. Listen, see if we're still doing as well in the league as well. Who knows? We could sell what we're given, but I like it. I know it's a team in their division, but Hearts away, Tynecastle, it's not a bad thing.
I'll be good away day. Always says at Tynecastle. The football file for FFC calendar is back, and the sign night is always back as well. It's Tuesday, the 9th of December, 3:30 to 5:30. Assuming that is at the Club Ross.
It's at the fan zone, yes. So, and I believe when I looked at it, you actually have, it's free, obviously, but you do have to register, and because I think they can only have so many kids and parents and stuff there. So you need to go onto the website and request a session.
Asking for a friend, is Tom Lang going to be on the calendar and will he be signing on the night? Just asking for a friend.
You would assume he will be. You would assume he will be.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Falkirk, you need to take a good hard look at yourself if Tom Lang is not on the FFC calendar. I know he's injured. I know he's not played for, Jesus Christ, shooting yourself in the foot if you don't put big, handsome Tom on the calendar, surely.
John, the only thing I would say is, see, if he is on there, it'll be you that's having the long, hard look at him.
I'll be very disappointed if Tom's not there. Ladies' Day is back at the club. It's on the 28th of February. Me and Ross are there as the eye candy. So if you're a lady out there watching that, this night now, put your card right. We're the only two red-bodied men that'll be in the room. Lucky you. So that's on the
sliding off their chairs, John.
28th of February, £90 per person. Get yourself along to Ladies' Day. And talking about 28th of February, I've got to mention an event that's, you know, what's happened in the last 2 weeks being launched. Scott Arfield and Russell Lappy are doing a night together at the Enshirer. That is going to be some night. Two absolute legends, and obviously two players that played with each other. You know, it's like almost like the master and the apprentice. You know, like, so it'll be an amazing night. Now, I know there's been a bit, everyone, there was a Shylock, who tried to organise one at the Dobby Hall. We were meant to be involved in it. And then I believe a lot of people got basically their money, didn't get their money back. We chased them on your behalf. He just stopped returning emails, calls, and he just disappeared off the face of the earth until I met him in certain circumstances and was introduced to him, and he ran away pretty much. So yeah, just to assure you, and I've spoke to the organizer of this event, because the last thing we want happening to Falkirk supporters is getting cheated out of it. Scott Arfield is deeply involved in this event, trust me. Scotty is basically running this event and he's getting someone to do it on his behalf. So you can trust this event. If you're thinking about getting a Christmas present, get yourself this, because it's going to be a cracking night. And yeah, another thing is we've got tickets to give away for it as well. So keep an eye on our socials. We've got a wee like and share. We'll put that up on our socials and then we'll hopefully announce the winner on next week's show. But yeah, be assured it's not the same guy or he's nowhere near it, because that was the first question I asked when someone approached me about it. And like I say, Scott is 100% involved in this. Yeah. So you'll see him promoting it on his own socials. He wouldn't be doing that unless he knew it was kosher. So yes, there you go, 28th of February, after Ladies' Day. That is going to be some day, Ross. But yeah, hopefully you can get along to that. That'd be great.
Absolutely. No, I'm looking forward to it. As you said, listen, the two of them are, I like that phrase, the master and its apprentice. I like that. And the stories from the pair of them will just be absolutely superb. From a time where the club was massively on the up at the time, we were riding high in the Premier League. And I think that'll be a class night.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Really looking forward to that. Try to get along. Good Christmas present as well that time of year. And you know, listen, we didn't actually mention this, but before let's mention Gordon Prophet, friend of the podcast, and Mark Sibbs, who are raising money for the Be Heard charity. That's Leon McCann and his partners, Morgan's charity, and the Evil Foundation. And they're doing the kind of 42 stadium 24-hour tour on the 18th of December. The Just Giving page is live now. We'll put that link below for you guys as well. So if you can donate to that. We, of course, at Folk Daft Live, we did an auction on the night, some amazing prizes. Thank you everyone that contributed to that. Scott Henderson, Ian Mitchell, Brian at Behind the Wall, Pavel Robertson. They all contributed, and you know, we made over £2,000 for the Be Heard charity. So that's really appreciated, and I'm sure it'll be appreciated by Leon and Morgan.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it was a tremendous amount of money. As you said, John, really grateful for everyone who donated, but also everyone who stuck their hand up on the night. Almost all of the money's in. Hopefully, in the next week or two, we'll be able to get that over to the charity once everyone's squared up. And but yeah, for Gordon and Mark, that. As we know, we've got pals who've done a very similar task 15, 16 years ago. So it was a long time ago, different stadiums as well. But that's a tremendous thing that they're doing. And I am sure they will raise an awful lot of money doing it as well.
No, but great effort from the guys for that. And I have to say, post auction, there was a lot of awkward conversations happening with partners on Sunday morning when they were walking back in the door with signed framed Falkirk tops. How much did that cost you? Oh, I don't have to worry about that.
And we're not going to mention that either. We won't
No, we
mention
won't mention, we won't give names out. We won't give names out. But yeah, and of course, the auction happened at Behind the Wall where Falkirk Daft Live is happening. Remember, get there. It is the only place you in the town you'll get the Falkirk Daft Venom, which of course is still on sale. And I don't know how many Falkirk Daft Venoms were consumed on Saturday night. I love to get a figure from Brian, but everywhere I looked, everyone had a Falkirk Daft Venom in their
And
hand.
the floor was just absolutely covered in the
Falkirk.
cups, which have obviously got the branded sticker on it, and
I
the
know.
straws as well. So
I
yeah,
know.
amazing.
Absolutely class. And of course, they've got great food. I had that, by the way, I highly recommend the Korean beef, crispy chicken, crispy beef, budabo. I had that for my tea on Saturday ahead of the event. So
Nice.
they've got great food there, of course, and the best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft, and cask ales. So get along behind the wall. Loads going on up in the run up to the festive period. So check out the website behindthewall.co.uk. I see Matt Queen are playing now. If you like a bit of Queen there on the 6th of December, definitely Oasis. Oh, is there tickets still available for that? That'd be a
What
good
date is
one.
that, John?
13th of December, Ross. Saturday, the 13th of December. It's the night of the Hearts game, damn it.
Oh, shite.
I know. So there, and Babs at Christmas, the one and only Barbara Riceland will be in there on the 21st of December.
Babs and Bubbles.
But
Is
yeah,
that it?
Babs, no, it's just Babs at Christmas. I think she's done
Oh.
Babs and Bubbles, and we're on to Babs at Christmas now. Well done, Babs, getting the just kicking the arse out of it. That's what we do. So well played. Right, so get yourself to Behind the Wall and check out the website behindthewall.co.uk for all the info of what's coming up. Right, let's talk about the Rangers game now because it's so fresh in our mind. Recording this on the Monday evening right after. Ross, of course, was in hospitality.
Yes, I was. Yes, it
How
was.
was it, Ross?
Did you go? I'll
Did you
level
go?
you. It was very good. It was
Did you
very
go
good.
to the little Rangers bar?
No, there was. We did stop. We did stop for a pint. I wasn't in the little weird Rangers bar that I was expecting to go
No
to.
phones bar.
Yeah, it
It's
wasn't
the,
that one.
it wasn't that
Yeah,
one. No, you didn't go to the no phones
no.
bar. And why do they not let phones in that bar, I wonder?
I wonder. But no, and then we got into the stadium a couple hours before kickoff. First time I've done hospitality, Ibrox. Really good. I was welcomed by obviously my work colleague who's a big Rangers fan, but the group of guys he's with, they're in like a seasonal. They're in hospital. I'm saying he's in hospitality all the time, but he's in hospitality obviously every home game, and it was a really good bunch. They all knew I was a Falkirk fan, so we had a good bit of chat, a good bit of banter. Good setup though. Really good. I think it is expensive. Like it's a casual option, so you didn't have to be
Is
super
it quite
modern.
like the 1876 lounge then, is
It's
it?
very similar to that, just the you can just tell though from in terms of the obviously the seats are like at the very front of the club deck, so it's
Right.
like the seats are phenomenal. Padded seats as you would expect as well. But in terms of the service and the food, it was all good. Very similar setup to Falkirk Stadium. It's Rangers and it's Rangers, isn't it? So the cost is always going to be
Yeah.
probably about 10 times that of every other club. But
Who was a
really,
ton?
really
Was there a ton?
a ton.
Like a player?
Oh no, do you know that was, well, there was, but not speaking. So there was a couple of players going round the room. So there was, do you remember Alan McLaren, the centre half?
Oh, Alan, he got loads of a good few Scotland caps, did Alan McLaren
Yeah,
from
so
Hearts. Very
he
good
was
centre
he
half.
Yeah, he was there. He was kicking about. Who else? Morris Ross. was in the lounge as well. But
Maurice Ross is a bit of a wild man. See if you follow his social media. Maurice Ross is a bit wild.
is he?
Yes, he is. I think I've spoken to him before. He's a bit of a character as Maurice Ross.
Right, okay. But yeah, the two of them were in. But not speaking, not like what we do. Obviously, we'll have a bit of a Q&A with the guys, but no, they're just kind of go round the tables, have a bit of a chat. But yeah, that was good. And obviously, post-match, I was literally the only one that was fairly happy in the lounge.
Sitting there with a big smile on your face, everyone else
A
mourning.
pint of Terence and a Morgan's and Coke, and I'm smiling away.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let's get on to the park. What's happening? I was in the away end, and it was raucous in the away end. In that wee corner, didn't stop singing. Shout out to the ultras as ever. Didn't stop singing. And I think the funniest bit of it was, and I don't know if anyone else who was in the away end saw this, but there was a boy, right, who was from Falkirk, and him and his mates were like, he was right, because I was right beside the Rangers supporters.
Right.
And there was him and one of his mates were having a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, he was from Falkirk and they knew each other. And then, like, everyone else was like, what's this guy all about? Started hurling abuse at him. And this guy started hurling abuse back. And then he got caught with a bottle of Bucky and got hooked
Did
out.
he?
You can imagine how that went down with the Falkirk support. So, class.
See, just on the noise though, John, that was the one thing, the first thing that the Rangers table that I was at, they all said the same thing, that the Falkirk fans, firstly, by the way, in terms of number, we sold out that section. They all made a, not that we're shocked about it, but they all made comment. I think Livingston had been there the week before and there was about 45 in the away end or something like that. So for the fact that it was sold out, that was the first comment. But the second thing is the noise. Didn't stop singing. And I think you said this on your day job podcast, but I personally have never seen Ibrox so quiet in
No.
terms of noise and also punters' bums on seats as well.
I mean, that's I was talking about this around the office today, actually. I've spoke to a few people, obviously in my kind of day job, about it today, and I'll drop a name. I was talking to Kenny Miller about it, right? So I would say to Kenny, I was like, mate, I don't know what's happened there, because we used to go to Ibrox in the 90s, the early noughties, what have you. And like, it used to be intimidating. See, as an
100%.
away supporter, you used to be intimidating. That would have reflected onto the park. It's
Yeah.
just not there anymore. You
No.
go there, and we'll talk about John McGuinn's comments a bit later on, but like, the fact we're walking away disappointed that we didn't get anything more than a draw, it tells its own story. I mean, for me, Rangers, that's a poor Rangers side. You went to Ibrox and you expected a game. You expected, the big players to step up and just looked at that. Like, I mean, you can't get away with it. They've got a Norwegian international who plays beside Haaland for Norway. They've got
Yeah.
Nico Raskin who plays in midfield beside Kevin De Bruyne. They've got like internationals right across the park, but they just, for me, they didn't get
You know,
near
John,
us in the park.
they're poor in terms of their quality, right? But they're also, they don't look interested. And I think that's part of the issue. Like, you obviously hear people sitting around you. Like, I would have loved to have been in the away end. Because you know me, I love the singing, I love the atmosphere and stuff. So obviously, I had none of that. I was sitting on my hands, just kind of listening to what was going on. Brilliant to see the Falkirk support from a distance. That was kind of cool. But going back to the noises around them, their main issue is the fact that there is absolutely zero fight, zero urgency. And it's just that's transferred onto the stands. And apart from the little group behind the goals who sing constantly, Ibrox was flat as a pancake. It really was.
Because you just go up and expect to beat teams like Falkirk. I mean, Livingston were unlucky not to get away with something the week before as well. That big penalty shout, which has since been apologised for. But it was just, it was weird, but brilliant for us, obviously. It was great. Obviously, going into the game, coming off the back of the United win, no changes. In hindsight, though, would Alfie Agyeman would have been better starting up front as opposed to Brian, just to offer that kind of pace and strength up front?
I don't know, John, because
I mean, Brian works so hard for the team and he drops deep and he wins headers and defensively, he's brilliant, by the way. See Brian Graham back at corners and stuff like that, absolutely fantastic. Gets about everywhere as well.
I think they're two obviously very, very different players, and they gave us two very different performances on Saturday. Brian led the line really well. He probably didn't have his best game, but he didn't have a bad game either.
No, yeah.
It was obviously very tactical because it was bang on 60 minutes. That was obviously a pre-planned substitute. Probably with Wednesday in mind as well. I've seen a few people saying, "Oh, the Alfie might start." I don't think so. I think Brian Graham will start that game again. But listen, you're right. Alfie was tested against United up front, and he did well. We'll talk about when he came on as well. He put himself a lot like. He was a right nuisance. So there is pros and cons to doing it, but I can see why Brian started. He scored the week before. His confidence would have been high. The Rangers centre halves, they're not the best either. So he probably thought I can bully these guys a bit and get in their
They were
faces.
big
That
lads. You can see they weren't great, but they were big lads. That
they
boy,
are big lads.
that boy Fernandez is a unit. And actually, I know the Rangers players have moaned about their centre halves, but I actually was quite quietly impressed by the centre half. I thought he was probably their best player on the park on the day. But yeah, I mean, the one change I thought might have been made was in midfield, and I did think that Henry Cartwright might have started instead of Dylan Tate. However, I thought Dylan Tate was magnificent. I
Phenomenal.
thought he was absolutely brilliant on Sunday there. He was all over the place. He was taking the ball in tight spaces. He was utilizing the space, and I thought him and Brad were excellent in the middle of the park on Sunday.
They really were. The midfield and the defence, including Bain, what a unit they were on Sunday. They really were. And Dylan just absolutely. I know he got a booking, and it was a real nice tactical booking as
It was a
well.
great tactical booking because
Fantastic tactical
that boy
booking.
Barami was straight through if he hadn't done it. Well done,
Exactly.
Dylan.
I did laugh because there was obviously people around me calling for a red card. I'm like, well, listen, it wasn't a studs up, and he was certainly not the last man, so it was never going to be a red card. But
Yeah.
I thought Dylan was fantastic. Brad was just Brad things in the middle as well and bossed it.
So comfortable. Just see taking the ball in, Brad. Just like Scott, you can see, tell Scott Bain is just looking for Brad to feed the ball into because he knows he's going to get something back off him as
Do you
well.
know the playing out for the back, John? That was another comment I got a lot at half time and at full time was how comfortable Rangers fans thought we were at just moving the ball about. There was literally one slip up from memory, and remember when Hendo lost the
Endo
ball at
slipped
the
up, yeah,
and
he turned up.
thankfully I didn't I've not
I had
seen it
my heart in
back.
my mouth. I had my
Oh.
heart in my mouth for that. It was never a
No.
penalty. It
No, it was
was
never a penalty, but I
never
think you
ever a
know what?
penalty.
40-odd thousand Rangers fans
Exactly.
shouting for it, you know.
Exactly.
But other than that little moment, the passing was just 10 out of 10. We were controlled, we were measured. There was purpose in our passing. Again, going back to what the Rangers are lacking, they were looking at that going, I'm sorry, but if a guy on £1,000 or £1,500 a week can do it, why are these guys on 15 to 20,000 pounds a week not doing it?
Yeah, I thought you mentioned the midfield and the defence. I thought they were excellent. You know, that back forth, Keelan Adams, great. Defensively, there was some great stuff he did. Philip, on the left-hand side in the two centre halves. I mean, Hendo did have a couple of slip-ups. I thought, again, Rangers supporters must be looking at Conor Allan and going, why did we let him go? He was so composed on the ball, just dealt with everything. And as I've said it time and time again, Conor Allan, he's not the biggest, he's not the strongest, but he reads the game so well.
He really does. And John, I've got a small story, and it's a quick one. We're sitting at full time, and we were talking about the defensive pairing, and one of the guys that was at our table says, who's your two centre half?" So I was like, "Oh, well, Liam Henderson. He's been with us since League One." And I was about to say, Conor Allan, who we signed from yourselves last January. And before I said that, he went, and the other boy was superb. Where did you get him? I just laughed. I just laughed, and I went, "Well, you're not going to believe this."
That's amazing.
And he was raging, absolutely
That's
raging.
unbelievable.
Oh.
The one thing I would say, and this is our forward line's been so good, but I thought the decision making in the final third and some of the way we're passing that we hadn't it because we were getting up to the final third and it was just either wrong decision or a wayward pass or something like that. So I did think, like Williams, Wilson and Miller didn't have the greatest games as a three. And Brian obviously we did what Brian things, but I think when it got to it was almost like, right, what do we do now? with it. So, you know, whether that was the Rangers' defence nullifying them, or there was a lot of mistakes, I think, in that final third from a few of them.
I thought our best forward player was Calvin Miller, who I just thought
Do you think
again.
I thought Williams
I thought Williams and Wilson did okay defensively. They weren't like yeah, I can't fault
By the way,
anybody for
Wilson
defensively.
getting back, actually the two of them getting back and
No,
helping
they
Musa
were.
and
No, they
Adam
were,
Gregg there.
and I'll never slag off their work rate or their defensive duties. I didn't think. I thought Ethan probably was the better of the two in terms of an offence, as in like he had a couple of shots and he took a bit of a chance. I just didn't see that for Kyrell on this occasion. But I thought Miller was everywhere again, trying to lead the well, not lead the line, but just in behind Brian, just trying to kind of drive us forward. But it was a difficult offensive day. We didn't, as you said, it probably was decision making that's really let us down. The biggest frustration will come to it because it was right at the end was when Edwards obviously had that looping header, and there was not a soul in the box to try and attack that and try and get it in the net. That was probably typified our offensive day.
I mean, like, Scott Bain did not really have that much to do. Yeah,
No.
the best effort he had was Gassama, who came off the bench for Rangers, and you know, a lot of Rangers supporters say he's kind of been the best of a bad bunch. He had a great save from him, but generally it was all, you know, he had that kind of one he had to run out to and gather, but he did not have that much to do at all, which when you go to Ibrox is great. But aye, the you know, like, I think, you know, first half it's like great, we've seen it out the first half. Let's see what we can do in the second half. Changes obviously happened at the 60th minute, as they tend to do with John. So Alfie comes on, so there's Scott Arfield, and obviously the Rangers supporters applaud Scott Arfield, which that, you know, oh, you know, he's one of our, we're saying he's one of our own, you know, they
I
probably
like that.
are. So, but no, like, I thought Alfie just affected the game, you know, he. Like, he caused them all, you know, more troubles than Brian did. And it was just, you know, it's Alfie just big, strong. And, you know, Alfie still have some, like, there was one where it just, he touched it, and there was a couple of touches that Alfie had. But there was other bits where he just shines and just causes mayhem, as we all know, the one and only Captain Chaos, as we like to trademark on this podcast. But he was just, he was great when he came on, Alfie, and he just caused all manners. A lot of Rangers supporters said, why did you not start with him? He caused all sorts of problems when he came on. I don't
No, he
know if you
did.
were hearing that from your end as well.
Certainly, yeah, there were comment on how quick he was and how he kind of bullied the Rangers defence when he was on. You go back to the decision making, it probably was there was that one big moment when he obviously did so well closing down Butland,
Butland, yeah.
and then the ball breaks. You watch it back and you think he obviously turns his body to almost kind of get it round his body to get a right-footed shot off, but actually having maybe taken it with outside his right foot or his left foot, we could have got a goal. I was sitting thinking about this, actually going home, sitting thinking, well, Brian Graham might have scored that because of how he is, but actually, I don't think the chance would have happened if it was Brian because
No.
it was Alfie's pace and athleticism that actually caused the situation. So listen, I thought Alfie was great. He did. He came on and he did what you hoped he would do, bar scoring. And he did. He caused a right nuisance. He had a couple of half chances, that one really good strike, and then obviously that one we've just talked about as well. He probably is putting himself into a position where he might be starting a game because we've got so many games coming up. Brian Graham will not be starting every
No,
single one of
that's
these
the thing. I
games.
mean, you look at, you know, Gary Oliver's out injured, you know, Ross McKeever's out injured. So all we've got left is Alfie and Brian, unless, you know, in January we get Barney back, you know.
Yeah,
And
well, Trey's there as well, but I
oh, I
don't.
forgot Trey. Of course, you've got Trey as well, of course.
It's a difficult one with Trey, though, because we've obviously, and there might be more to him. We've just not seen it yet. I certainly don't see him coming on ahead of either Brian Graham or Alfie if whoever starts. But you're right, Barney's due back in January, potentially. We hope he is. John may have plans for January. Who knows? He may have someone already agreed to come in, you know. So, but it is, there's a lot of games. We've got five games in December starting on Wednesday night, and it's a busy period. And I don't see Brian Graham starting every single one of the
I
games.
don't think so either. Unfortunately, a couple of injuries picked up. We've found out Keelan Adams had to make way. Sam Hart came on. We had to readjust with Lisa going out to right back. Then he had to go off with cramp, and then we had to bring big Ryan Edwards on and then move Connor Allen out to right back. And then obviously, Calvin Miller. What a shiner he's taken, by the way. What
yes,
a bat. So whether he starts on Wednesday as well, there's, you know, like, because that looked like a pretty badly swollen eye.
It did look pretty sore. I won't say who I've spoken to, but I think Calvin should be okay, assuming he gets the all clear.
You and me wearing an eye patch.
Well, it's not that's true. Apparently, it's not like a, because it wasn't a head knock, he's not like automatically has to be rested right for so many days. But so if the swelling's down and he can see out of it, probably, which is the biggest issue, I think he'll play. Lissa has, so John McGlynn's came out today and said that Lissa will be fine. It's Keelan that's not, is going to miss Motherwell. But I get the impression if he's missed, he's obviously been very specific saying, oh, he's going to miss Motherwell. Does that mean he might be back for Hibs? So fingers crossed.
Oh, well, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, it was a great team effort. I thought defensively it's probably our best defensive performance of the season to play and hold out. And again, you walk away with that, like, we could have got 3 points there. That was, you know, I think that's the bit of the annoyance. It's like, you know, that was probably one of our best chances. Because when you look at the fact that frightening stat that the BBC put up, I don't know if you saw that, Ross, that Rangers have scored in every game against Falkirk at Ibrox since 1937. Jesus Christ, I'm glad I didn't know that before the game.
Yeah, it's a long
time. It was absolutely mental stat. Well, let's hear what John McGlynn had to say after the match.
John, another point, getting a wee unbeaten run going now, but perhaps not often you get to say this, perhaps slightly disappointed by getting a point at Ibrox.
Yeah, slightly, yeah. And based on the fact that we turned the ball over a little bit too much for our liking, we can retain possession better. If we did that, we'd have probably created more opportunities, and that would have pleased us more. You know, we've not really created as much as we would like to have done. And so we've got to be braver, a little bit braver, want the ball, get in a good position to receive the ball. Maybe we're a little bit tentative. We worked our socks off, don't get me wrong. We worked so hard there to get that clean sheet. The whole team worked so hard. And you have to do that. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, we have to work so hard to do that. And we're so proud of the players for getting that clean sheet and to get come out of here with a point. It's not easy, as the stats will tell you, with regards to, it's been 100 years since, you know, Falkirk have won here. So it's not easy. And the guys have to work so, so hard, and we've picked up one or two injuries there. And games are coming very, you know, very quickly, Motherwell on Wednesday. So we were a little bit disappointed in possession that we can do better. There were times we were actually very good. We were actually very good in possession. And in these moments, we looked like a right good team. But the underlying feeling from the day is we were very dogged, we were very determined, we defended well. We didn't give up too much opportunities. There was a lot of set plays, or a few good set plays coming into our box, and we defended them, we got ahead in them, and we blocked things, and, you know, Scotty's not had an awful lot to do. Yeah, repeat myself, if we had kept the ball better, if we had built attacks better, then we would have made more attempts on their goal, and that would have pleased us more. However, we're very proud of the players, of what they've achieved. We're on a good run. Huge thank you to the fans that have been singing there from about, you know, 20 past one today, from the minute the players went out for the warm up. They're singing. It was great to see every single one of them stay right to the end there, and you know, great atmosphere throughout the game. They played their part so much, and we can't thank you enough. So back home on Wednesday night to play Motherwell, which will be a very difficult game. They're a right good football team.
Mr. McGlynn there, sporting his Canada Goose jacket, a little quarter zip top, and a little black T-shirt on Got Clan Watch. He's looking the part as ever. What's Santa going to bring, John? Because, you know, he's been absolutely glowed up this season. I'm interested to see what a clobber's like going to be after Christmas with Mrs. McGlynn going out to the shops.
I fully expect his missus to hit flannels.
He'll be over flannel. He'll be getting flannel gift vouchers for his Christmas. 100%. That's what he's doing.
I'm expecting some CP company, Acroscutum, Burberry. See, the only thing he's missing now is remember when what was his name, the Man City manager back in the day? Was it Mancini? And he used to wear a scarf. Can you imagine if can you imagine he's wearing a Burberry scarf?
Of class. That it needs to happen. If you're friends with John McGowan, get him a Burberry scarf for his Christmas.
Class.
That would be amazing. But
Brilliant.
you can see John. You can see John's a bit disappointed. Like,
No, he is.
and coming away from Ibrox with a point. Like you mentioned, there, it's been 100 odd years since we beat them in the league. Ibrox, obviously, the last time we beat Rangers at Ibrox was 1994. The last time we won at Ibrox was against Celtic in 1997, which is scary, scary statistics when we're talking about this 30 years on. You can tell he's a wee bit pissed off.
He is. He's right though. We worked so hard for that clean sheet, and that's a huge thing as well. Like that's what's that, two clean sheets on the spin now. And it's clean sheets that will keep us in the position that we're in. So fingers crossed we can carry that into Wednesday. We've got a busy week, Wednesday at home, Saturday's away. Two massive, massive games, difficult games as well. Hibs have obviously got a full week to prepare and refresh. I know we'll preview that game a bit later in the week, but Motherwell, who we're going to talk about in a minute, they've obviously had a hard game against Hearts on Saturday. But it'll be a tough game. But we'll be there and we'll be ready for it.
Yeah, let's before talking Motherwell, let's look back. Your comments from the Rangers game. Hendo kicks us off saying superb point on the road, team well organised, worked so hard. Bain had little to do, though Alfie, Tate and Spencer were our best performers. Shout out to the travelling fans, immense again, proud of the team. To be on 20 points already before the halfway point is awesome. Come on,
And
you.
that's a huge point by Hendo. So I think this we looked at this a couple of weeks back, but 35 to 40 points has usually been enough for the 10th place team to survive.
I'd see this season though, just like the way people are taking points off each other,
Yeah, it might be.
it's
You
gonna
might
be
need more.
yeah,
You might
we might
need
need
more.
more.
So, Craig. It says deserved point. Could have been more had we been better on the ball, as it's not like us to be so slack. However, clean sheets at Tannadice and Ibrox is
Yeah,
outstanding.
absolutely. Sandy says solid performance. Lisa and Adams both superb as they had a difficult day on paper. Alfie done very well when he came on, but if his decision making was a bit better, then we'd get the 3 points. One defeat, 8 and 8 isn't too bad though, is it?
That's a great start, isn't it? One defeat in eight. Wow. There we go. Elsa has said, I thought it was a really good performance, especially at the back to get a clean sheet. Going forward from midfield transition could have been cleaner with passing, final pass, and make better chances. I absolutely love that McGlynn says he wants more. He keeps raising the bar.
Yeah, Mando says unbelievable feeling to be disappointed that we haven't taken 6 points from Rangers in both games so far. Yeah, with Livy dropping points again, it's getting more and more likely they'll be staying in this division for another year. Right, let's just calm that down now. Let's just calm it down. Temper that a wee bit.
He's
Temper
a
that.
wee bit defeatist there. Surely we're aiming for the top six in Europe,
Once we
Mando.
get him safe, then once we get enough points to be safe, then I'll be starting to look
There
up
we
the
go.
league.
Nice one. PGM says, good solid defensive performance right to the end, particularly when you consider that we lost both right back and left back later on in the game. Bain, Hendo and Conor Allen particular mentions, but also Dylan for doing Dylan things.
Yeah, and finally, Stuart says League One Falkirk upsetting the apple cart again. Yes, let's go for that. Right, let's go for our Falkirk Daft rated player.
I'm going to say Dylan Tate. I thought he was fantastic.
I'm going to absolutely back you up there. Dylan Tate, and happy birthday to Dylan Tate. There's your
Yes.
birthday present from us to you. You get your Falkirk Daft rating. It's his first one of the season, which is surprising because it has
Yes.
been so good. What about your Falkirk Dafty? Do you have a nomination? Because if not, it's that guy for Falkirk who snuggled the
Yeah,
bottle
no, I
bucket.
didn't have one, so I'm more than happy
Because that boy,
for Dylan.
the boy for Falkirk that got hyped out, I was like, ha ha ha. You'll probably be after me now, but never mind. But brilliant. so we'll give him the Dafty of the week. Thank you very much. I'm hoping all our Falcon supporters saw that as well. Please drop us a comment on the if you saw that happen. Loved it. Right, cool. So there we go. Easily done. Great 4 points off Dundee United and Rangers. And now it's on to Motherwell. The Lanarkshire Galacticos, as I've been calling them, because everyone is raving about the way Motherwell have been playing. And you can see for why, because having watched highlights of Motherwell this season, spoke to a few people in the know about Motherwell, like, I think the best example, when you know, is Andy Halliday, who is not getting his game, was Motherwell's player of the season last season. And he's just nothing but brilliant things to say about the manager and, you know, what... how Motherwell are playing. You know, speaking to Motherwell supporters, we spoke to Stephen Rayside earlier in the season. Sorry, we don't have our guest to preview this one due to the time we're recording this. It's now 10:30 on a Monday night. But yeah, they look to be a right good side, as they kind of showed us in the first half against us at Fir Park. I mean, obviously, you know, if it hadn't been, you know, we got a VAR decision went our way that day. Let's face the facts. It was, they looked at it and, you know, you look back at it and go, yeah, the goal should stay. But still, it still would have been just, you know, you would have had to go on and score the other one, and they did. But yeah, they're a good side. You know, sides, Maswanisi, Just, they've got good players throughout the side. Stephen Welsh has been very, very good for Motherwell since he got his loan move over from Celtic. So they have got some very, very good players in there. It's going to be a tough game on Wednesday night.
Well, listen, they're in brilliant form. They haven't lost since we beat them. So they will have a bit of a... we've got a little bit of a target on our backs there, because they've obviously been in a real good, strong run. That said, I think we are very similar to Motherwell. I'm not saying we're better than them. I'm not saying we're worse than them. I'm just saying we are very, very similar. We've got very similar styles. John McGlynn's talked a lot about how he really enjoys watching Motherwell because of how they press, how they retain possession.
It's the rotation. The rotations are phenomenal, Motherwell.
Yeah, and if they come with their A game, we will have to be on our A game to get the result that we want. That's fine. I think home advantage will play a huge part on Wednesday night. The crowd have a massive job, as we always have. We've got the three sides of the stadium. I believe Motherwell have not quite sold out their allocation. I'm sure they will come kick-off, but they haven't yet. So we need to take advantage of the big crowd, the noise. Motherwell's home form does seem to be better than their away form. So let's see how we go with them. Let's see how we go. We went toe-to-toe with them. They had a brilliant first half. We had a brilliant second half. I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it. And I know I've said this a few times this year, but I think there will be goals. I think this could be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, I do think so. I do think both our styles of football will make for a really, really good game of football on Wednesday night under the floodlights. I do think there's going to be, you know, it's going to be a really interesting meshing of styles. We saw that in the first game where we weren't on it, and I don't think John McGlynn, in all accounts, after that first half against Motherwell, was not the happiest of chaps at halftime. And I don't think we'll go anywhere as poor performances we had in that first half. We were very lucky to get in just 1-0 that day, and obviously, you know, their lack of, you know, the fact they couldn't get the ball in the net came back to haunt them. And obviously we had Scotty Arfield and Calvin Miller doing the business for us. But yeah, that was really the kind of, at that point, that's when I kind of went, we could do something this season, you know. Because it was a real turning point. It showed the real character of the side that game, to come back from 1-0 and win. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a really interesting game of football. I'll get your predictions at the moment, but who do you think obviously injuries, Kieran Adams isn't going to make it. So what happens here? Does Lisa go to the right side? Does McCann or Sam Hart, who came off the bench, interestingly, it was Sam Hart that came off the bench. I think that may be a tactical thing rather than anything else. So does Sam Hart come on the left side, or do you keep Lisa where he is and put Connor Allen out to right back and bring Ryan Edwards, who's shown up well when he's come off the bench against United and Rangers as well, in fairness?
Right.
What do you do in defence?
It is a real tough one for John McGlynn, because you've also got the Leo McCann situation there as well. Like, does Philippe go to right back? And as you said, McCann then comes in at left back. You've got Sam Hart, who wasn't the best against Motherwell at left back when he came on. When he played.
But yeah, actually, I forgot about it. Don't play Sam Hart when he started against Motherwell. It was absolutely shocking. So yeah, he got absolutely roasted by side down that side. So maybe not Sam Hart.
Do you know where I think he'll go? I think we've obviously signed Edwards, right?
Yeah.
I think Edwards will come in at centre-back with Hendo. And I think Connor Allen will retain his place, deservedly place in the starting 11. But I think he'll shift into right-back position.
I think you might be right. I just think Sam Hart got really his arse ripped in that first half against Motherwell. So maybe with that in mind, I thought Sam was great when he was absolutely fine when he came off the bench against Rangers. But I think with that in mind, you might be right there. You might be right. Suspect it'll be, if Calvin Miller doesn't make it, I guess Scotty comes in at 10.
If Calvin doesn't make it, you've obviously got.
Or do they switch things, but put Ethan out onto the wing and bring Kyrell or Ethan Williams instead?
Yeah. Possibly Ethan, maybe more so than Kyrell coming into the 10. But I think Scott Arfield, there's an argument, but Scott Arfield probably should be the 10. He's obviously got he scored against Motherwell before as well, and he knows the position well. It's just if you start him, who are we bringing on in the 10? Because due to injuries, we've not got the biggest of sort of attacking midfielders options there, but we've got players that can move about, as you said.
Where's Finn Yeats? There's a question. Where's Finn Yeats?
He's not played a single minute in the Premiership, and he's not made too many squads either.
Remember when he played the 10 against Celtic, and it was one of the best performances he's had in a Falkirk.
He was fantastic that day. I can't see him coming in for Keelan.
I don't think he's going to. Yeah, that's crazy when you think of Finn was our right back right through that Invincible season. You know, he was so good and so composed, and he's not, since Keelan's been in the team, he's not had a kick. And now you will not drop Philip Lisa from that side, because he's a step above, an absolute step above. And Leon started the season so well, and you just feel so sorry for Finn as well, because he's really not had a look in. He really hasn't had a look in. I feel really, really bad for Finn.
I agree. He was a huge part of the Invincible team. He played his part at the beginning in the Championship as well. So, but yeah, I don't see Finn. I assume we may see a couple of players go out in January, and you would, again, this is just putting two and two together, you would assume Finn's maybe going to be one of the guys that'll go out, probably for his own benefit more than anything.
Yeah.
Because he's not kicking a football about, you know.
It's a real shame, because he's such a good player as well, Finn. Yep. You know, when he's played in midfield as well, he's been great. So, it's just a shame, because, like you say, don't drop Philip Lisa, because he's been a standout player for us.
Mm. And Connor. And you wouldn't really want to drop Connor.
You don't drop Connor either. You don't drop Connor either, because Connor, like we've just said, he's made teams of the week for the last couple of weeks. He scored that goal against Dundee. And you feel sorry. You become so attached to these players, especially after the seasons that we've been through. And to see them, you know, just kind of languishing on the bench, or not even getting into the squad now. It's a sore one to take. It makes me sad. I don't want to think about it anymore. Let's talk about something else, Ross. What's your predictions for the game on Wednesday?
I think there'll be goals. I do. We've obviously had two clean sheets. That said, I think Motherwell and Falkirk seem to be of the opinion, if you score two, we'll score three. If you score three, we'll score four. I'm going to go Falkirk 3-2.
Falkirk 3-2. Mm. I think I've been very pessimistic the last couple of weeks. So
keep it going, because it's working.
I know, I might keep it pessimistic, but I'll say a wee Desmond. I'll go for a 2-2.
Right.
I'll go for a 2-2 draw. I just, Motherwell, obviously, you know, we've got a chance though to leap them on the table. you know, there's a big chance there. If we get a win, you know, 23 yeah. points, doesn't matter. I don't think the results will all go our way. With
I was looking at it as well, John. There's only a couple of results we need. Well, what really, apart from our own, you're right, Rangers play Dundee United at Tannadice,
yeah.
which I don't think is a gimme. I don't think it's a stick on.
I haven't seen them on Sundays. No, absolutely not a stick on. But Dundee are in a poor run of form at the moment as well, right enough.
They are, yeah. So it's a bit of an odd one. Aberdeen are obviously 3 points behind us currently, but they've got a game in hand. They are, I want to say, at home to St Mirren, I think it is. If we could win, and imagine, and I know it would probably be fairly short-lived, right? But say we won, and we go third in the league. Christ almighty.
Helicopters out.
Absolutely. Chopper Central.
Brilliant. We'll see what happens, Resi, but I'm looking forward to the game. And we'll, of course, be in 1876 Lounge. A lot of guests confirmed. And there's an offer on, obviously, on season ticket holders. There was an offer on, so we might see it in there. Come and say hello if you're popping in. Some of the guests have said Martin Corrigan's back. He was in the lounge before. The good doctor, Kenny Duker, will be in the house.
We need to chat to Kenny. Yeah, we
absolutely
do.
Chat with Kenny. Stevie Kirk, former Motherwell player, and obviously played for Falkirk as well, and a very successful side. The side that finished fifth in the league, actually. Stevie's going to be in the lounge, and obviously a Motherwell legend for scoring in the Scottish Cup final for them as well. Yeah. So a couple of well-kept faces in the lounge. So, say hello if you're popping along there on Wednesday. Before we go, though, thank you very much for the Falkirk football fans and training. The T8s, we're all there on Saturday night behind the wall for Falkirk Daft Live 6. Shout out to Ian Mitchell and his wonderful Christmas shirt, and for the rest of them being absolutely steaming. And a lot of them just thinking I was a cloakroom attendant by giving them a jacket to put away for them. So shout out to Ali. The rest of the boys were in really, really good form as well. They were all heading up to the toll booth for the karaoke after Falkirk Daft Live 6. God help the toll booth. That's all I'll say. But yeah, great bunch of lads. And if you want to join them, get down to the games on a Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30 at the stadium. The Elite Academy and Legends setup is there, along with the over 50 section as well. By the way, I'm not kicking the arse off of that over 50 section, so I'll see you there soon, boys. My birthday in the next couple of weeks, and then I'm just going, shit, I'm sliding towards 50. God. I'm having an existential crisis about it, Ross, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I was alright with 40, but 50's a scary number for me.
I know, I'm starting to go, Jesus, I'm 45 in about a week and a half. Jesus. But yeah, I'll see you there, boys. But yeah, get involved if you want to get help with your mental health, you want to make new friends. They're a brilliant bunch, as proved on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you know, get the fitness there as well. And you know what, if you like, I know people like go, you just go, I wish I could still have a kick about, you know, because you kind of fall out of sevens games and fives games and stuff. And if you've not got a fives or seven games to go to, the T8s are the boys you want to get in touch with. So do that with the guys. The details are below. Touch with Ian, Willie, or Doogie. Doogie was in fine form on Saturday as well when I was speaking to him as well. So there you go. Falkirk football fans in training, sponsor this podcast, and we thank them for it. Right, we will hopefully be back this week. I was saying hopefully. We won't promise, but we'll hopefully have a Hibs preview later in the week. But the way work is going with me and Ross at the moment, it's that time of the... It's the most wonderful time of the year. So there's lots going on. So we'll hopefully be back with a new episode on Thursday, tentatively says that. But yeah, if not, we'll be back definitely on Monday next week to go over the Motherwell and the Hibs game. But like I say, hopefully have a preview episode out later this week. If we don't, we apologise. But in the meantime, review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Don't leave a review saying, these guys are lazy bastards and they're never doing a podcast. Please look at that. Give us 5 stars and please like us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can do that. You'll find us at Falkirk Daft. You'll see our ugly mugs on the YouTube channel, or I should say the eye candy for the ladies' day. Please like and subscribe to that. And remember, Christmas is coming. You can get Falkirk Daft merch. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk is where you want to head. Or you've got the Falkirk Daft collection, pintsandprints.co.uk, where we've got a new edition of the Scott Bain. He's Scott Bain.
It's a good one.
It is a good one. It's a cracker. So get on there, pintsandprints.co.uk, and it is the Falkirk Daft collection, which you'll find there. Remember, you can sponsor the show if you want to do that. You can drop us a message, ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk or john@falkirkdaft.co.uk. Easy for me to say. On in the Discord channel, I never mentioned the Discord channel, but it's alive and well, and lots of people just slagging each other off. Honestly, I'm like a school teacher there sometimes, the Discord channel. I have to go in and say, children, stop and behave, because it's all the young team that are in there, and they all slag each other off, and they all pick on other people, and then other people come in that are not Falkirk supporters, and they all just, honestly.
They need to behave.
Behave, children, behave, but join the Discord channel, and you can maybe moderate it for me. That would be great, because I don't have the time to act like a school teacher. Anyway. That's my moans away with. Any moans you would like to get off your chest, Ross?
No, I don't think so. As you said, John, it's just a real busy time of year, and we do apologise. Where obviously last week, I know we missed a podcast, and there was loads of messages saying, where the hell's the podcast?
I got lots of abuse for it on Saturday as well. Apologies.
These things do happen, unfortunately, but we will hopefully... preview Hibs, and if not, we are 100% back to review the games this week.
100%. Right, listen, thank you very much for listening, Falkirk Daft. We will see you on the next one. Until then,
expect unexpected, buddy. One of the bands.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.